The Chosen Queen by Joanna Courtney. Read by Claire Corbett. Prologue. Sometimes, when she closes her eyes and pictures that night, Edith cannot tell where memories end and dreams begin. She wonders if she was enchanted. She was only 8, after all, her mind still shifting in and out of made-up worlds. But something about that night, played out in firelight beneath a million stars, still feels so solid, so very real, as if, rather than being befuddled by it, her mind became truly clear for the first time. He looked like a king that day, Harold. Even in a simple bridegroom's tunic of darkest green, he looked like royalty as he stepped up to take the Lady Svana's hand. There was no gold in sight. Just flowers. No parade of bishops, just a smiling monk in a sack robe and bare feet. There was no betrothal contract, no formal prayers, no exchange of lands or elaborate gifts. Just the linking of hands joining two people for a year and a day.
No longer? Edith had asked.
Marriage was forever. Everyone knew that. Grumbled about it, jested about it, accepted it.
Only if we wish it, Lady Svana had told her. Ours is a marriage of hearts, not of laws. If we cease to love, it ends.
Edith must have looked shocked because Svana had laughed and said,
Fear not, this union will last to the grave. Love prefers to be free.
Those are the words Edith still hears, like a fiddler's tune played over that whole night.
Love prefers to be free.
And they colour her memories a thousand glorious shades. There had been feasting, on long tables stretched out across the meadow. Then, as the sun dropped, myriad lanterns had been lit in the trees, and there had been dancing. Guests had whirled, maypole mad, around a giant fire that turned them into tumbling shadows and sent sparks of joy into the night sky, until, finally, they'd kindled the dawn, and it had all been over. The next day, Edith had wandered, dazed. Her father had been scornful, covering up a sore head and any memory of the self he had briefly become, a self that had danced with his wife beneath the stars, his daughter on his broad shoulders and his sons gleefully circling. Perhaps he had been enchanted too. If so, the magic had fled with the light of day.
Ridiculous paganism, he'd muttered. What would the Pope say?
Edith hadn't cared. She'd never meet the Pope, far, far away in some mystical city across the seas. But Earl Harold was here, and despite being high up in the King's Council, where all was tangled rules and debates, he'd been content to stand on a hillside, head bared, and marry for love.
Fool, her mother had said. What connections does she have? What influence does she yield? What use is she to him?
Edith had said nothing. But it had seemed to her then that Harold glowed when he was with his handfast wife, and that it was that glow, more than any gold or land or title, that drew people to him.
Love prefers to be free,
Svana had said. And Edith had carried that with her ever since. It had been her ideal, lit up by firelight and scented with meadow grass, and now, on the brink of womanhood, she craved such a passion for herself. Part 1 Chapter 1 Westminster, March 1055. Dusk was sneaking up the swirling eddies of the Thames, calling the men and women of King Edward's England to their beds. Inside Westminster's Great Hall, however, no one was listening, least of all Edith Alfgar's dottier. In a clatter of platters and trestles, the formal part of the Mid-Lent gathering was being dismantled. And for the first time, she was to remain until the feast danced itself into bed. Anticipation spiked in her stomach, and she pressed herself against a pillar, her fingers nervously tracing the intricate carvings in the wood, as she took in every glorious detail of the unravelling court.